Morning. Today's Bible reading will be from Mark 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of God.
Can you hear me? There we go. So in Greek, it goes like this. I say Christos Anesti, right? Christos Anesti. And you say Alethos Anesti. That is, he is risen indeed, or he is truly risen. Okay? So you want to practice that? All right? Just next to you, say hi to somebody, and one of you say Christos Anesti, and the other say Alethos Anesti. It's good to see you. It is wonderful to welcome you here. Just to, this will do two things. It'll alleviate just the seating squashing that we're having, which is a wonderful thing. You're most welcome, and it's so wonderful to celebrate. You've already lifted me. Did you hear yourself singing those wonderful truths? It was just so magnificent. And so thank you for joining us to lift our voices in celebration of our Lord's resurrection. And so I'm going to ask the children to leave their seats and come to the front and come and sit here. That'll create some more space, but it'll also help me as we go through our Bible talk today. No, not under the table, and perhaps just in front here. That'd be great. If the children could gather here, the rest of you, if you could move just a little to the side, then others can come in and there's space for them to sit. Come sit behind the table. Boy, that's sad. All right, that'll be great. And as Uncle Sean already said, we're going to have a slightly different, we're going to do a short introduction to our talk, and this is an all-age talk. There'll be some activity, some things for the kids to focus on, but for all of us to think on and to remember. Come a bit more forward, that's great. Okay, thank you. And if the rest could just move slightly, then we can squeeze a few more in. There's still a few seats here up front, there's quite a few here. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I love to receive things in the post. Now, not through our normal postal service, because we know that doesn't work very well, but online ordering. Do you guys do online ordering? I hope not. but I'm sure your parents do, all right? Now, there's a place that I order from, because I've got four boys. It's called Eat A Lot. So I ordered this. I ordered something from Eat A Lot, and then they said, because I ordered specific thing, I get a special Easter surprise. And so I have no idea what's in this, but it's an Easter surprise, right? And so what do you expect to be in here? What do you think might be in here? Chocolate bunnies or something like that. It's going to be, you know, it's from Eat A Lot. And our family eats a lot. So do you guys want to help me open this? Let's just see what's in here. Looks fantastic, right? A couple of hands. You can rip it open. Go for it. Excellent. Thank you, guys. Right, wait, now let's do the big reveal. Okay? Are you ready to see what's in this Easter surprise box? Let's And they told me it's something very important, something very valuable, and something that we will really get some good use of. Let's go. Open up. See what's in here. What do we got? Toilet paper. What do we got? Toilet paper. Toilet paper. Whoa, hang on. We've got a bucket full of things here too. Let's have a look. Okay, well, they did say it was very valuable and expensive, so if anybody needs, there you go. All right, we should be giving out petrol as well, right? Okay, that's it. Guys, grab a seat. And we've got a bucket of strange things. Grab a seat. Thank you, guys. I'm sorry, you know, looks can be deceiving. Easter surprise, not so surprising. Well, it was surprising, not what we expected, right? They always say to you, don't judge a book by its cover or a box by its packaging. I remembered that from school because my maths textbook had people on the front who looked like they were enjoying themselves. That was not my experience. Never judge a book by its cover, right? But we've got a bucket of things here too. That looks like some sugar, dog shampoo, magnesium. Here's a little toy car. Okay, that's exciting enough. There's some soap. What's this?
That's fire.
That's fire, yes, absolutely. Be careful with that. And a little iron nail and a bucket. All right, well, maybe this will be meaningful later. We'll see. But, you know, things aren't always as they appear. Help me here. In a much bigger way, I mean, sometimes we're disappointed with what we get. Even online ordering, it doesn't always work out, right? You order a big cushion, and what comes is this tiny little thing. Or you go to a restaurant, and you order that juicy-looking steak on the menu, and then what comes is this dry piece of biltong. Or you get that custard pie from the bakery, and you bite into it, and there's no custard inside. We have those kind of disappointments, right? Things aren't always as they seem. But much bigger things can make us feel, oh, we've got something to keep our hands busy. Pop, pop, pop. Much bigger things can make us feel hurt and disappointed. And no, quietly, quietly, quietly. You can do that, but just quietly in the background, okay? Much bigger things might make us feel hurt and disappointed. Think about the followers of Jesus on Good Friday at the cross. How do you think they felt? Let's look at these. We talk in emoji language these days. Have a look there. How do you think those on Good Friday, the followers of Jesus, felt at the cross? Pick out, if you had to pick out an emoji, which one would you say they looked like? Yeah, you want to say it? Can you make the face? Yeah, okay. Were they sad? Do you think they were sad? Do you think they were heartbroken? If you can pick out emojis there, there's a few of them. You think they were just dejected? They were ashamed, maybe? I don't know if there's an ashamed emoji. Okay, let's put those bubbles down. Thank you, guys. My wife has spoken. Okay. So they might have felt completely disappointed, down, heartbroken, sad, grieving. But that was Friday, and it didn't feel very good to them because they hadn't understood yet, as we reflected on Friday, that he died for them, for their sin, that the darkness that was there and the forsakenness which he expressed was him being placed there in our place under the judgment of God so that we could be freed. They didn't understand it then. But then Sunday arrived, and a whole bunch of other emotions burst out, right? There was a shock for them on Easter Sunday. Why were they shocked? If you had to look at these emojis again, which ones do you think they felt on Easter Sunday as they came to the tomb? And it was full of maggots, right? No, full of bats. No, it was full of Easter eggs. No, it had but one thing in there, not a body. Hey, it had grave clothes. There was no body. How do you think they felt? If you had to show me a face, if you went there expecting to see Jesus there in his dead body, what would you be seeing? What would you show on your face if you arrived at the tomb? Now, I'm going to count to three. You show me your face. What would it look like? One, two, three. Confused, shocked, jaws hanging open. Good. Let me read it to you. the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so they may go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, wasn't the only thing that rose that morning, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from us from the entrance of the tomb?" Now, they haven't really thought this through, have they? But I think in their grief, they just wanted to be there, and they didn't think, what's going to happen next? But when they got there, they saw the stone had already been rolled back, and it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. They were shocked. They were a little bit scared, that word communicates. And when they left the tomb, listen to their emotions. They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone initially, for they were afraid. Just imagine the emotions on that weekend changing so often. They might have felt a whole lot of things, but which emoji is that? Mind blown. Now, actually, I'm going to, in the next part of the talk, unpack for you why those words that describe the ladies as they left the tomb are actually more like that than anything else. That there's a complete mind-blowing shift that's taken place. We're going to see some mind-blowing things in just a little while. Mind-blowing. Will you keep that in mind? We're going to come back to it just now. Now, you can stay seated here, and we're going to sing a song. It's also a great old hymn, which reminds us of these truths of the grand redemptive story. I think it's "And Can It Be?" Let's stand and sing. Okay, you are allowed to eat it. Parents, can they eat their Easter egg? Is that okay? All right, we're just sugaring them up for you. You get to handle them the rest of the day. Don't worry, I've got four at home. Now, here's seven letters. Really, just seven proofs I want to bring to you for the resurrection. Here's just seven for us to think about and talk about as people say, well, prove it. First is this, the W, and it'll come up on the screen as well, I think, is for woman first. Now, that's not an insurance company advert, but the woman first arriving at the tomb is unusual. If you were going to make up an account about the resurrection, you wouldn't put that detail in. Because, sadly, in those days, the woman's testimony was not considered much. Much lower than a man's. It wasn't trusted. Sorry, ladies. I listened to my wife, though. And you do good to do, too. But to have women as the first witnesses of the tomb is unusual. If you were making it up, you wouldn't put that in. It rings of authenticity. Secondly, the eye is immediate indications. What I mean by that is the tomb was empty. That was obvious. Not even the authorities denied that it was empty. They made up a story. They said his followers stole the body. But the grave was empty. And if the body had been stolen, well, they would have taken the grave clothes as well, because there's some value there. Those were left behind, neatly. The stone enclosing the tomb was rolled away. The body of Jesus was never found. That grave, remember, had been guarded by Roman soldiers. Do you know anything about Roman soldiers? The most disciplined, well-drilled soldiers standing guard. And they had no clue how that grave opened. They would have almost certainly been taken to task and account for what had happened there. That's the immediate indications. Thirdly, what's the next letter? T, transformed lives. From the day of the resurrection onwards, Christianity grew from that place onwards massively. Many of the principal eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus died because of their claim that Jesus was resurrected. Their lives were transformed. They were quivering wrecks, and they all abandoned Jesus before his crucifixion. But after his resurrection, they were emboldened, and they proclaimed this message in spite of their own lives being on the line. Their lives would probably have been spared if they recanted. You know what it is to recant? It's like me saying, I'm an Arsenal fan. Okay, I'm sorry to say that. We lost last night. But if I recant my Arsenalness, it would be shocking, right? And then I'm saying, I'm going to become a Chelsea fan. My son would be happy. They won yesterday.
I would never do that. Well, but to recant is to deny that which is what you believe to be true. They probably would have been spared if they recanted this nonsense. We know that people will die for a cause, but these men and women died for a set of facts. They went to their grave rather than to say the facts were untrue. They died because they said the facts of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus were true, and they laid down their lives for it. And this explosion of growth happened mere weeks after the death and resurrection of Jesus in the place where he died. And the growth happened in the face of great hostility and opposition and persecution from civil and religious leaders. That's our third bit of evidence. The N is for the New Testament. There are four ancient biographies of Jesus. They were all written by eyewitnesses or based on eyewitness testimony. The one we read, Mark, was based on Peter's eyewitness testimony. And they were written and circulated while many other eyewitnesses were still alive. These biographies all say that Jesus rose from the dead. They're all supplemented by letters, what we have in the New Testament, written by eyewitnesses while many other eyewitnesses were still alive. These ancient letters claim that Jesus died by crucifixion and that on the third, he rose again from the dead. There's an ongoing witness to that. Even some non-Christian sources and Jewish sources, pagan sources, say that Christians said Jesus rose from the dead. So there's evidence. You can go read it, and you must. When your friends say to you, prove it, a lot of them haven't really read the Bible. I remember a story of a Jewish rabbi who was a prodigy as a rabbi. He would do what he called a pin trick, and he could take the Jewish scriptures, and he said, put a pin in it, stick it in anywhere, and I will tell you what verse that is. And he was doing that trick as a young man. He became a rabbi at age 19. And his particular area of expertise was the New Testament, because he said, you've got to know your enemy. One day, he was traveling later on in his 20s, and he was traveling, and he was in a hotel, and he was going to a conference, and he was kind of bored. He didn't want to go through his notes again. And so he opened the drawer next to the bed, and guess what he found? A Bible, a Gideon's Bible, a New Testament, and Psalms. And he picked it up, and he started reading from John's Gospel, one of the biographies. And as he got reading, and he'd read it many times, he knew the story that these Christians spoke about, that Jesus was the Messiah. And as he started reading, the tears started coming down his face. And by the time he got to chapter 3, he was converted. He knew, without a doubt, that Jesus was the Messiah. That's God's work through these powerful words. It's his word. It's his witness. And that man became a great servant of the gospel, just like Paul the Apostle. Remember his story? And that brings us to E, which stands for? There's at least 11 accounts of appearances of Jesus in the biographies, in the letters, and in Acts. At least 11 appearances that Jesus made, excluding the appearance to Paul. The times that Jesus appeared to people proving that he was resurrected. These appearances were to men and women, they were to individuals, they were to couples, they were to groups, at least in one occasion to a great crowd of 500 people. These appearances were inside, they were outside, they were in different locations, they were at different times of the day. He was physically touched, he was audibly heard, he was visually seen, and he even ate food in the presence of witnesses. None of these witnesses believed that Jesus would rise from the dead before he rose from the dead. All of them knew him before his death. So they knew he was the same Jesus who died on the cross. And those appearances are recorded for us. Next bit of evidence, the S, stories. You see, the authorities had to scramble to make up stories about what had really happened. One of them was that they circulated was that his followers stole the body. There have been all sorts of stories over the centuries because people know that the resurrection in Christianity's teaching is the most important doctrine. Do you see this Jenga tower? Here's why we have it, right? You guys played Jenga before? All right, you want to come and place a block or two on top? Yeah, grab a block. And you guys place some on top. While you're building that, these stories which they made up include that Jesus wasn't really dead in the tomb. He simply had, kind of fainted. It was the swoon theory, the stolen body theory. We've got all these theories that don't stand the test when you look at them. Stories, stories. Nobody could really deny the truth of what had happened there. Great. So we've got some extra blocks on our tower. Thank you, guys. Now, he has imagined this tower as all the evidence, all the truth of Christianity. He has the Bible in blocks. But what happens if I... Who wants to pull out the bottom blocks for me? Okay, come and pull out the bottom blocks. Go for it. Each take one. Let's see what happens. Take one at a time. Is it going to fall first time? You take the other side. Go, go, go. Wow, it's still standing. Oh! You see, you could picture this. Well done, guys. That's not the aim of the game, but well done. The resurrection at the bottom. Because if you take away the truth of the resurrection, the whole of Christianity falls flat. People know that. And so the most attacked doctrine in Christianity is the resurrection. And that's what the Bible says itself, right? And so read with me. Let's involve everybody. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, wonderful passage on the resurrection. Won't you read it with me? Just saying, are you still awake? Still there? They're awake, yeah, because there's lots of chaos in the front. But let's read this and take in these words about Jesus' appearances and the significance of the resurrection. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Thank you so much for reading that. Do you get the implications? And you see the evidences there we spoke of, including Paul's transformed life. Amazing that he went from persecuting and trying to exterminate Christians and Christianity to being one of its greatest missionaries. That's the power of the risen Christ. Last one here is an S. It's just flipped over. It's been said before. It's been said before. Not just by Jesus, who predicted his death and resurrection. It's one thing to predict your death, and you could kind of have a self-fulfilling prophecy, perhaps not crucifixion. But there's another thing, too, to predict your resurrection. He was raised by the Father, but also know that it was predicted before in, oh, I've just lost my notes here, in the Old Testament. And I had it here, but I've lost it. Old Testament passage, here we go, we found it. Jesus predicted he would die by crucifixion, be buried, and rise from the dead. He could not control that he would be died by crucifixion, that could be a self-fulfilling prophecy, but it did. It was a means reserved to the imperial Roman authorities. Jesus claimed his death by crucifixion and his resurrection on the third day would be a sign and vindicated who he was, and that what he would do would be accomplished by his death and resurrection. But in the Old Testament, you can read this for yourself around this lunch table in Psalm 16, verse 10, Psalm 22, the second half, Isaiah 53, they all speak prophetically about the resurrection of the Messiah. Dear friends, this is not a leap of faith. To have faith is to trust the facts of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. That's what you did if you've trusted Christ, right? And we know what's at stake. We know this matters, which is why we really need to process this. Okay, you guys grab a seat before we collapse too much. Thank you. Grab a seat this side. There we go. Thanks, guys. Joel, go sit that side. Thank you. Don't know who these naughty children are. Process. Mark's gospel ends, I believe, in verse 8. You'll see an extra bit there, but those weren't in the earliest manuscripts. But Mark's ends, and they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Why does Mark's gospel end so abruptly? Trembling and bewildered is how we leave them. Mind blown. Because the word that Mark uses there is for that idea that they were bewildered was really a word that communicates a huge mind shift has taken place. Their world has been rocked so much they simply cannot take it in. Who of you guys like superhero movies? Who likes superhero movies? What's your favorite superhero? Spider-Man. Now, my boys were watching some Spider-Man the other day, and Spider-Man had a good friend. But imagine your best friend suddenly reveals to you he's Spider-Man. How would you feel? Mind blown, exactly. You would never see him the same again, right? Imagine discovering that. You wouldn't view that person forever the same. And that's the kind of mind shift that's taking place. I read a story about a girl who discovered that she was a twin at age 16 while she was surfing videos on TikTok. She saw another girl that looked a little bit like her, or a lot like her. And so it turned out this was her twin. They were separated at birth and given up for adoption. Imagine how your world shifts and how it changes. That's the word used of these ladies as they leave the tomb. They're not just trembling with fear, but they're actually undergoing a major shift in their understanding. Wow, this really could happen. This really did happen. They were mind blown. Remember that many couldn't believe Jesus was who he was claiming to be. His enemies say, that's just a carpenter's son. We know him. We grew up with him. But those who did accept him, who he was, now struggle to believe what he said about coming alive again could be true. If Jesus rose from the dead, this is a Tim Keller quote, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? Why be here today? Why worry about reading your Bible? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether you or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. It's crucial, isn't it? So as you think on that again, dear friends, as you listen to the arguments, as you consider, you may be in one of two places today. As you process these realities, can I urge you, if you're not sure where you stand, if you're here considering these things for the first time, can I urge you to get there to the evidence, to go and read it, to seek out a Christian friend, one of us here too. And we'd love to sit down with you and show you why this is the most important thing. That most important question, who do you say he is, will transform your life. If you are a believer here today, can you see again that your whole life should revolve around his life and his life-giving life? Can you see that this is an urgent message that we must witness to in everything? And so last P is pass it on. Things aren't always as they appear. So these things. Do any of you guys have special talent that you're hiding? Who's got a special talent? Anyone a special talent? Put up your hand if you do. Are you going to tell us? Can you show us? Too shy. My special talent, I can tell you, I can pop every bit of popcorn kernel in the pot. All right? You need popcorn made, you call me. I don't leave a single kernel behind. It's a very special talent, right? And Jesus should love me more because of that, right? Jesus should love you more because of your talents and the fact that you're all good looking, right? No? And that you're talented at sport or creative things or art, or Jesus should love you more for those things, right? Well, I wonder, think of these things, we're almost done. If the world, science, just looked at you, and they might see your talent, they might see all sorts of things that are good about you, but if they just summed you up, you'd be worth about 250 rand. Do you know why? Because in your body, you've got enough sugar for 7 cups of tea. You've got enough iron for 1 medium-sized nail. You've got enough fat for 7 bars of soap. You've got enough magnesium to cure 1 tummy ache. You've got enough sulfur to shampoo a dog, right? You've got enough phosphorus to tip 20 small boxes of matches. And you've got enough potassium, to explode a small toy. And finally, enough lime to whitewash a hen house. I didn't bring one. And actually enough water to fill about 6 buckets. You take all that together, you're worth about 250 bucks. Science says that. But God looks on his special creation and he says, not, you know, you're worth it because you've got this, that, this, or that going for you, or because you love me back. No. He just loves you for who you are, who he's made you. And he loves you so much that he gave himself for you. He loves you in spite of you saying, I don't want you, God. In spite of your rebellion and sin, he loved us when we were sin sick at just the right time, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is big news, isn't it? This is great news. We should go out rejoicing. He loved us not because we're lovable, but because he is love. And he poured that out on the cross. And he stood up again to show you it's all true. That's how much I love you. It's magnificent. It's mind-blowing. There's this intriguing little verse in Mark in this resurrection account in verse 7. Have a look there. The man in white, the angel says, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee and he will meet you there. Isn't it magnificent to hear that? And Peter. What had Peter just done? He denied his Savior 3 times. And the man says, specifically, go and tell Peter. And he will be there to welcome you. He will be there for you. You can just as well put your own name in there. Go and tell his disciples, and Ray, and Sean, and Pat. Because he loves you. He wants to welcome you back. That's how much. John Chapman would say when he felt reluctant to face the day, he would sit on the edge of his bed, he would swing his legs over and conduct a self-interrogation to reaffirm his faith. He would ask himself, John Chapman, it's a great Australian evangelist, he passed away a few years ago, have you had any fresh information that Jesus Christ did not live? He would answer himself, no, I have not. And John Chapman, have you had any fresh information that Jesus Christ did not die for you, rise from the grave and promise to return? No, I have not. Well, John Chapman, he would tell himself, keep on going. It is obviously the best thing to do. I want to urge you not just to keep on going, but to fill your life with his life. And he has one way I want to encourage you to do it as we close. I've got a whole bunch of post-it notes. We started something at home called Awe-Filled April. We've also got analog April, less time on screens, but Awe-Filled April. And what I want you to do is take a few post-it notes before you leave. And you can all do this. And as you go about your normal life at home, won't you write on there, oh God, I'm so grateful for. Stick one on your fridge for food. Stick one on your shower when you get out for hot water. Stick one on your roof for a roof over my head. Stick one on your husband. So grateful for him, your wife, whatever. Soon, I think you will find you don't have enough post-it notes. As you go about life, you can stick a few in your office, see what your colleagues say. But then at the bottom of everyone, won't you write, he is risen? He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. He's alive. I have every reason to live with joy and gratitude, not grumpiness and disgruntledness and criticism and folding in on myself and selfishness. I'm going to leave them here at front if you'd like, and I'll leave some at the back as well. These are on the house. Not pink slips on your car outside, but take a few or get your own. That's one way just to express and remind yourself that the whole of your life is filled with the glory and the life of Jesus. It should be. This is his story. What is your song? What is the song of your life singing? Dear friends, he is risen. Christos Anesti. Alethos Anesti. Well done. I think that's all we have. We're going to, I think, sing. Is that right? Yeah, we're going to sing.